We've got about, I don't know, a couple minutes left in this segment. Why don't we start, Rick, our NBA takeaways here? So drop that dope-ass NBA takeaway music. Shout out to our executive producer, Tyler Morales, our technical director, Bill Matz, and our board op, Rick Camp. You're with us today and all week on You Better, You Bet, and Ken. The game of the day yesterday on Sunday in the association. The Milwaukee Bucks take down the LA Clippers by the score of 105-100, closing the game on a 9-0 run. The Clippers go the final 4 minutes of the game without a field goal. This is a, I don't want to be too dramatic about it. It felt like a really important win, though, and like final sequence for Milwaukee in the story of their season, potentially.
I agree. I thought you were going to say we start with the most important game, and that would be the New York Knicks.
Oh, we'll get to it.
I was half expecting that to be a tongue-in-cheek joke as you opened the segment. Yeah, for Milwaukee, I think a ton of really positive things. First of all, you get Drew Holiday back. He doesn't play very much, but his time on the court was incredibly productive. He only played 18 minutes. He was a plus 10. Like, I mean, didn't shoot much, but I think played pretty effective defense, and that's what they've really been missing. It's not that Drew Holiday is like some, you know, season altering insane defensive presence, but let's remember, like, this was a team that was allowing 120 to everybody, and now they show up and they play an elite team, elite competition in the final, what, 3 minutes of the game. The Clippers basically don't score. They had all kinds of excuses for why afterwards, which we can get into after the commercial break, but Milwaukee allows 100 and they get one of their best players back. I mean, those two things in tandem, like, you couldn't ask for a better kind of boomerang turnaround game for Milwaukee.
Chris Middleton says after the game, feel like we're heading in the right direction defensively. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe it's because you got Drew Holiday back. And Kawhi Leonard saying after the game, Ken, I think this kind of goes to like the excuses that you're talking about here.
Yeah.
And this was actually not so much like a one game excuse. It kind of felt like a big season excuse.
And they got plenty of excuses.
It's funny, like it's like the coaches change and the players change, but the excuses stay the same with the LA Clippers franchise. As a team, we're not there yet, was the quote from Kawhi Leonard.
Also, we need to play faster. Also, was it Paul George made a big point of that after the game. Got to play faster. Our pace is like all off. Oh, okay, right. Yeah, just, you know, Coach Paul George, just talking it up.
It's like buzzword bingo, like with the Clippers after a game. Like, you will hit bingo enough if you listen to enough of these players talk. So we've got a big show coming up for everyone on a Monday. Again, Ken Barkley's roadmap to crown an NCAA champion. We've got overnights. We've got the power hour. We've got two great guests. We're going to tickle fancies. But coming up after this, the rest of what you need to know from a busy Sunday and the National Basketball Association, including my New York Knicks winning yet again, all coming up next here on the BetQL Audio Network.
It's NBA takeaway time.
Oh, yeah!
On You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley.
Indeed, it is NBA takeaway time. We're going to talk more NBA later in the show when Ryan McDonough, former NBA GM, Radio.com Sports, NBA insider, joins us. College basketball top of the hour with Rob Doster. But let's finish our NBA takeaways, Ken, from Sunday. And I know there was one other thing you wanted to say about this Bucks-Clippers game won by Milwaukee as it concerns the losing team, the LA Clippers.
Right. And for each team, I think we can take something away about totals coming up for the next 2 to 3 games. But to tie a bow on that Clippers point specifically, this is a team entirely run by the players. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both made a point after this game to come out and say, we have to play way faster than we played in this game. If that leads to like a one game, two game short-term overs situation for this team, which is something I'll be looking at in their next game, depending on, you know, whether it's opponent next game, 2 games from now, like, let's kind of monitor this, see what the market opens at. I just think Clipper totals are a little interesting off this game and those comments by their two best players who literally run the team. And then for Milwaukee, they've been an over team forever, a team total over team specifically forever. When their games haven't gone over, we talked about this the other day, it's because literally they're blowing out the team so much the game somehow stays under at the end. Does this start kind of a period where maybe the offense takes a little bit of a half step back? They start to work Holiday back into the rotation. I imagine he's going to start their next game. He did not start this game. Does that lead to like maybe a little bit of a hiccup offensively where the defense picks up a little bit? Do they become a short-term under team going forward? So maybe kind of opposite directions total-wise for like a week here, and this is the last week before the All-Star break.
Do you feel like Doc Rivers, in between probably worrying about Joel Embiid's health for tonight and Tobias Harris's health for tonight, just like lights up a cigar?
Right. Don't miss them. Pours
a drink and watches these post-game press conferences, like sticking pins into a Ty Lue voodoo doll. Like, he's probably like, man, I'm so happy to be out of there with these dudes and their excuse making.
Imagine Paul George saying anything. I mean, I just can't with this stuff.
Like, playoff team.
Like, your most important shot of the postseason, you hit off the side of the backboard, dude, in the second round. Like, I can't. I'm done. I can't with this
team. Well, it would be like, it's playoff P, like luxurious right. hair Ken and tall Nick. Like, we all right. might as well just have nicknames that are inaccurate.
Right, exactly. Right. You know what they call me? Fit Ken. That's what they call me.
Fit Ken, you know what we need tall to do? Nick, we need to do the show.
I don't care what anybody says. We need to do this show faster. That's what we need to do. Up and down wild. The courts. In and out of breaks. Faster.
Well, I'll tell you what. We got the right person to do it here. If we really want to go fast, we can. But we'll slow it down a little bit for the NBA takeaways. Ken, as the Boston Celtics have now won two straight games for the first time in literally a month, they take down the Wizards in a very entertaining affair on Sunday afternoon. 111 to 110. Somehow winning the game despite Bradley Beal going off for 46. Jason Tatum scores 31. The Wizards blow a late lead. A tough loss to stomach for the Wizards, but a very entertaining game won by Boston. The Celtics now back at 500, 17-17.
Yeah, and I mean, a wild game to watch the fourth quarter of. The third quarter was maybe one of the worst quarters of NBA basketball of the entire season, which is saying a lot given all of the just horrific quarters we've had and a lot of blowouts so far. But the fourth quarter kind of delivered, and it delivered because Tatum was awesome. The funny thing is Boston wins. Tatum makes the two most important baskets of the game, but you kind of leave it not liking Boston for the same reasons you didn't like them going in, which is just what a grind it can be for this team to create shots at the end of games. We think about why we like Brooklyn so much, right? Why you like Philly so much, because you can just give it to Embiid and you're going to get a really quality shot or an open three for a teammate. Even Washington, like Washington's going to get an easier shot in the half court offense in general than Boston is. It's just an absolute grind. And Jaylen Brown didn't play in the game, but even when he played, this has been true no matter who plays, whether Kemba plays, doesn't play, Jaylen plays, doesn't play. This has been true. It's just Tatum, you have to create, and it ends up being like an impossible shot in a lot of situations. I mean, he had to bend around two guys to lay the ball in for the most important bucket of the game. So Boston wins, and that's great for them, I'm sure, and their morale, because they have gone through a really rough 3 weeks here. But just in terms of like, do I like Boston more going forward? I think the answer is still no.
You bet. BetQL Audio Network, Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on a Monday, March 1st, breaking down NBA takeaways from Sunday. We need to have a conversation, Ken.
Yeah.
About my New York Knickerbockers. I think it's time here. And I have kind of held off from this kind of conversation because
sure.
A, it's self-serving, and B, I felt like it was probably a little too early. But like, I watch a lot of these Knicks games, like basically whenever I'm home, which is most of the time I'm locked into these games. So they beat the Pistons yesterday, 109-90. The game's never close. And whenever the Pistons even remotely threatened, Julius Randle was there to kind of shut the door. RJ Barrett playing with more confidence, there to slam the door shut. The Knicks are now 18-17. If the season ended today, they would host a first-round playoff series as the fourth seed. They've won 7 of 9. We know the Pistons suck. This is not a conversation about the Pistons. Doesn't matter.
Sure.
Are the New York Knicks good?
Maybe they're, I don't know what they are. They're not bad. They've gotten over the hump of not being bad. That's like, we can say that, I think, with certainty.
Like, could they beat Boston in a playoff series? Could they beat Miami in a playoff series? Like, could they beat the Raptors in a playoff series? Like, is this a one-and-done team in the postseason? Look, as a Knicks fan, I'm happy just to get there. I just want a seat at the table. Like, give me four games even. I'll take a sweep. I just want to see postseason basketball as a fan. But, like, is the upside of this team to win? Can they win a playoff series? And, like, what are we doing with them in the short term now that they're playing well and, like, everyone's talking about it.
Sure. Can they win a playoff series? I mean, sure. Like, we're talking about, it's like our NCAA tournament conversation we're going to have later. It's not about certainties. It's probabilities. What is the probability they can beat Boston, Toronto, Miami in a playoff series? Extremely low. And for one really specific reason, and you're on this too, even though you're a Knicks fan, even though you watch the games every night, like they beat Detroit by a million, which is something not every team does. And they deserve the credit for winning the game. They deserve the credit for winning all the games this year. But the thing we hate about the Knicks is in the final 5 minutes of a game when the game slows down, oh, by the way, this is going to be every playoff game they play in the first round. And it's what's your closing lineup? What's the other team's closing lineup? What happens as a result of that? Can you get stops? Can you create baskets? I'm not sure they can do either of those things against elite teams in the Eastern Conference. And when I say elite, I just mean a team like the teams we're talking about in that group. And that's not even Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philly. Like, this is the second tier of those teams that we're talking about. Now, if they drew Indiana, I think that would actually be really interesting. I actually think they could beat Indiana. That's probably
Randle
the best
owns team. Sabonis. We saw it the other night. Randle's got it on Sabonis.
And Indiana's like dying to fold in a playoff series. They just look like they're dying to fold in a playoff series. All of their metrics are like, they just beat up on teams like Detroit and they never beat anybody. They never punch above their weight. So, you know, the best team the Knicks could probably beat in the playoffs realistically, you know, with confidence, I could say, maybe Indiana. Well, all those other bottom teams, though, the Knicks would be, you know, in the mix against those teams. And let's be honest, from where we were at the start of the year and where we were for the last decade, you know, like what an awesome place to be. Even me saying something that sounds so insulting, like what a wonderful place to be as a Knicks fan. I want to do a Detroit thing here real quick. Just, this is important with betting them. We have 5 days left until the All-Star break. Every soundbite, quote, anything coming from a player on the team off this game is that the team is dead going into the All-Star break, completely exhausted. Everyone's saying the exact same thing. Like, you could see it in this game. You could see it in the Sacramento game, even where like their legs totally gave out. This is a thing. Detroit draws Toronto tomorrow night. They're like an 8.5-point dog in the soft opener with the low limits. I just think this is going to be a thing with this team going to the All-Star break. Like, young team, no expectations. They're not playing their best player. Jeremy Grant is now hurt, but going to play anyway. Everything points to just fade the bejesus out of this team the next 5 days.
What do you think Blake Griffin's doing? Like, just kind of like chilling.
Cashing monstrous
lighting cigars with $100 bills, like turning on the TV, seeing his team struggle like on fumes in the fourth quarter.
Like, is there a $1,000 bill? Right. He's looking around being like, is this the largest denomination we have? I'd like to light this cigar, please. Yeah.
Last thing here, and this is another Knicks question, but I feel like it's noted here. So the Knicks have entered like the national consciousness now. Like, they're getting a lot of hype, obviously. They've been bad for a long time. Now they're kind of sort of maybe good. Everyone's talking about them. Do you feel like we're going to see a spot now where the Knicks are maybe overvalued in games here over the next little bit of stretch of time? Is that, I can't believe that's even a thing that could actually happen. But I mean, if there were ever a team it could happen to, it would be this one.
Right. I mean, I think it's all going to depend on the situation, right? Specific opponent. Like, I need to know more of the details to know for sure that can happen. I don't think so. I think the Knicks are a team that when they're in these small spread games, like that they can actually win, let's say under 3 points, you know, against other kind of like bottom half Eastern Conference teams. The market has given them no credit in basically all of these games. And these are the games they're thriving in. I mean, these exact types of games. They play Cleveland. Remember, they were like a 2-point favorite in Cleveland a couple weeks ago, and we were like, ah, I don't know. I mean, these are the numbers that they've been covering with regularity. When they punch above their weight, maybe, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the time to play on them, but maybe we could find some spots to have some more Knicks market conversation, not something.
And I want to give a lot of credit to Drew Dinsick, the whale capper, who was on with us last Monday on the show. And also as a show, kind of, for kind of continuing this narrative as we moved along last week, because it's kind of proven to be true, right? As the Miami Heat starting to play a lot better. Miami has now won 6 consecutive games. They take down the Atlanta Hawks yesterday, 109-99. So with Miami on the 6-game winning streak, Eric Spoelstra's team is now back at .500. They're also at 17-17. So it's like all these teams in the Eastern Conference are all kind of jumbled in the same spots. Miami gets it done without Jimmy Butler. So a really impressive effort from the Miami Heat. John Collins scores 34 points. It doesn't matter as Atlanta goes literally 8-35 from downtown. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to win when you go 8-35 from downtown against the Miami Heat. Trae Young, by the way, has now had 5 games this year where he has gone scoreless in the first quarter. It should surprise no one that over the course of these 5 games, they have won 0 of them. So Atlanta is 0-5 in games where Trae Young does not score in the first quarter. Just something to keep in mind when we're betting Hawks games and even like first quarter derivative bets as it concerns the Atlanta Hawks. And the other thing about Miami, and remember we talked about them last week, right? Bam Adebayo saying that, like, you know, it felt like the bubble when they were on their road trip and they're playing really good basketball right now. The Heat have kind of like become bizarro Heat recently, right? Where what was the book on Miami? If people remember us talking about them, they blew so many fourth quarter leads earlier in the season. Like as recent as like 2-3 weeks ago, this team was blowing fourth quarter leads with regularity and not even against good teams either. Now they're kind of like the bizarro Heat where they are pulling away in the fourth quarter of games. They are coming back in games. And like our buddy Drew Dinsick, the whale capper, said last week, it may actually end up manifesting itself where the Heat end up as the biggest challenger to the Brooklyn Nets in the Eastern Conference, right? Miami, last year's Eastern Conference champion. So very interesting as it concerns Miami. So Miami gets it done, wins and covers. 6 straight win yesterday against the Atlanta Hawks. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, You Better You Bet, BetQL Audio Network, breaking down Sunday's NBA action. You know who sucks? The Houston Rockets. They look pretty good for a little bit, right? once the Harden trade is consummated and it's Wall and it's Oladipo and it's Christian Wood and this team's playing great defense, you want to talk about the wheels coming off? Like there may not even be a car at this point for the Houston Rockets. Forget about the wheels. This team is absolutely brutal, Ken Barkley. Like, the car is going to explode on the road. You lose by 49 points, like, not even to a great team, to the right. Memphis Grizzlies. Stephen Silas goes, it's embarrassing. You think, buddy? Man, this team's brutal, yet they're favored tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right, and they get against the suddenly feisty Cleveland Cavaliers, by the way, off that upset over Philly over the weekend, and they'd won a couple games prior to that, too. So, like, I imagine, you know, the start of your discussion was some of the Silas quotes. You said it was embarrassing. He also, you know, I think he had a couple things where it's like, well, I hope it's rock bottom because it can't get any worse than this. Well, just wait for tonight.
Right? Keep digging, like, buddy. Keep digging.
My favorite thing is when the coach acts like he's not a part of the franchise. Be like, yeah, can you believe those guys? That was terrible.
That's right. It's insane.
Can you believe who would? This happens all the time when my kids and my wife's siblings' kids all get together and there's like seven of them. One of them will start screaming and invariably one of us will turn to the other and go like, man, whose child is that? Whose parents are like, who are that kid's parents? They're doing a terrible job. And it's like, obviously one of us, the exact same kind of dynamic. Like, what a shocker. We have a coach who's never coached before mixed with a group of players that are kind of some tough personalities to mesh together. Cause half of them are used to a lot of success. The ones who were there before and the other half have never really achieved success in the, you know, recently, really almost at all in their careers. Wall's a habitual underachiever. So is Oladipo. So was Cousins before they got rid of him. You mix those two groups together. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in that situation? Nothing good, basically.
Justice Winslow, 20 points off the bench about a minute to go in this segment here. So I thought that was interesting, right? That Justice is starting to play better. I'll say this about the Rockets game tonight. They shot 4 for 4. 4 for 45 from downtown in Sunday's loss. So part of me, Ken, wants to like kind of, I kind of want to bet the Rockets tonight, being like, and they're going to make a lot more of these three-pointers.
An outright win is a huge dog. I mean, the Cavs are like, you know, the Cavs aren't undervalued right now. They just beat Philly as a monster underdog. I don't hate the idea.
Can we bet the Rockets? I think I'm going to.
Well, you
I
can't
really
do
anything.
Right, you can't.
I mean,
again,
what a great country, free country. You want to bet on a team that's lost 11 straight? I'm sure there's some books that would love to take that action. And guess what? They will. On the other side, we're going to tickle fancies. We're going to finish our NBA breakdown. Rob Doster coming up top of the hour on College Hoops. We got a loaded show coming your way. It rolls on right after this on the BetQL Audio Network.
Malik Monk darts inside.
Wow. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Oh my goodness! The Miracle After Midnight Part 2!
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
You do me a favor, guys. Play that again. Did he say diddly D?
Yep.
Yes.
Play it again.
Malik Monk darts inside.
What a diddly D. Like, what does that mean?
Diddly D.
Diddly D.
Well, we're gonna keep that and we're gonna use it from now on. We're definitely gonna do that.
I mean, look, I'm not saying I don't like it. I just like don't know, right. Like what does that even mean, diddly D? Like
he's just really excited, you know? It's like he's like the Ned Flanders of NBA announcers, apparently. Right? It's like diddly D.
I sure like the cut of gibberish. Diddly oodly. Diddly
oodly. Malik Monk down the lane. Oakley dokley.
Yeah, it was just like, that's just I want to be as excited about anything as the Hornets announcers get about everything.
What's his name?
I mean, they're
name?
Literally excited about everything. I honestly don't know.
Eric Collins.
There we go.
Eric Collins.
Who's the analyst that does games with it? They both go nuts.
It's
every
Del
time.
Curry, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right too.
The Steph Stan. Awesome.
It's just insane. But they were doing preseason games and LaMelo Ball was doing, you know, like even what for now, for him now is like totally normal stuff. And they would just go completely insane.
I can appreciate that. I like
it. I love it. I mean, it's awesome. It's just, you know, they could look at a railing and be like, oh my God, it's metal and it's painted white. This is incredible.
I love that for Knicks games, I get like Mike Breen, the most like polished play-by-play announcer. He's just like as even-keeled as it gets, and the Hornets get diddly D.
Right. Mike Green gives you the bang.
Diddly D! A free throw for the win!
Diddly D. Diddly D. I don't know what it means, but I might start using that.
I don't know
like,
what it means.
What's like an applicable circumstance where you would like yell diddly D and like you went a bat diddly D?
Right, instead of bing bong, it becomes diddly D.
Well, we now have two alliterative instruments, right? We have bing bong and now we have diddly D. I'm going to start using this.
What could be so if Bing Bong Bay is a place, where is Diddly D? Where is that located?
Diddly D is not a place.
It's not. It's a state of mind.
I think it's a state of mind. I think it's like a euphoric state of mind that emerges after one wins a bet in dramatic fashion.
Okay.
It's like Hornets money line. Diddly D.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you got Morikawa. Diddly D.
Kansas over Baylor Saturday, diddly D. Illinois outright, diddly D. Yeah.
Now, like you bet a big favorite, they win by 1,000 points. That's a fun win, but it's not necessarily.
Could be a trip to Bing Bong Bay.
Well, I think that Bing Bong's any win, but like we're talking like the real dramatic stuff.
Right.
We're talking diddly D.
Does he say, Rick, you're saying, does he say hum diddly D? Is that what he says? Hum diddly D.
I didn't know that it was hum. I thought it was just like he was just like making a noise, like an excitement. Like
he said, "Oh diddly D," but it is hum diddly D because I heard it that
hum
time.
Diddly D.
I feel like that's an expression that I think I've heard before. Hum diddly D. You guys look that up. Hum diddly D.
I'm looking it up right now.
HD squared.
Everything that's gonna come up for it is gonna be from last night's game, probably.
It's all Hornets stuff.
Caught up. Hum diddly.
It's all Hornets stuff.
Right. I'm on this. I'm into Hum Diddly D. I like it.
Okay, excellent.
You know who else
Love
liked it?
About Hum Diddly D. Yeah.
You know who else liked it? Malik Monk. You know who hated it? Luke Walton. You know why? Because he's going to get fired soon. Kings choke away a massive lead. Hornets beat them 127-126. Sacramento misses 5 free throws over the last 69 seconds. Nice of the game. Yeah, it's a recipe for losing. PJ Washington scored 42 points. Five other things that'll never happen again. I like fainted when I saw the box score. Kings suck. 10 of 11 losses.
Sure. I've been on overs for both teams for a while here. We had the Hornets over against the Suns, another short-term over team the other night that hit. I had the over in this game too. Kings overs have been insane. At Friday night, I made a big plea for their over against Detroit. I think what that result now in hindsight shows us is that was much more about Detroit being completely out of gas going to the finish line than that Sacramento had morphed back into some average defensive team. They're still just atrocious. Devontae Graham didn't play in the game. Gordon Hayward didn't play in the game. That's one of the reasons why PJ Washington went off the way he did. So yeah, you're right. It's an outlier performance for Washington, but the continuation of literally going into the All-Star break, we have a couple more games left. I don't think you can play any Kings under with any confidence whatsoever. I'm not sure you can play a Hornets under with any confidence whatsoever.
Hum diddly D. Hornets win 127-126. You bet. Costos Barkley, BetQL Audio Network. Lakers beat the Warriors, Ken, 117-91. And it's like, what did we say? Like everyone, you know, I'm going to get on my soapbox here. You know what? The big bad national media. By the way, you know what we're part of? The national media. But the national media, Ken, you know what they were saying? The Lakers without Anthony Davis, they're screwed. But you know what they were ignoring? That there was a guy named Dennis Schroeder that was on the way back at some point. Dennis Schroeder comes back, and wouldn't you know it? What a coinkydink. The Lakers have now won 2 straight. A suffocating defensive effort beat the Dubs 117-91. LeBron didn't even have to play the fourth quarter in this one.
And Schroeder, even if the box score was not super impressive from a plus minus standpoint, he was the most positive on court contributor in last night's game by a significant margin. So for the Lakers, you mentioned it. It's just, is Schroeder playing, not playing, the second playmaker on the court? This was even a bite that we used for like our open at some point. Just if Schroeder, it's for the open in the first hour of the show, I think we played it. Like if Schroeder's not on the court, then they don't have a secondary playmaker. And that's really important. You saw the importance against Portland the other night. You saw it, on Sunday night as well. With the Warriors, one thing that's worth mentioning, we talk about opponent splits sometimes. The Warriors are now the worst team in the league from an against the spread standpoint against elite competition this year. Every time they try to punch above their weight, they basically don't cover. We saw a lot of the Saturday primetime games the last couple weeks. We've seen it, with a lot of regularity the last month or so. They played a lot of elite competition, failed to cover against all of them. And then they go and play you know, the Knicks, or they go to play, you know, some of the other Eastern Conference teams, whatever.
Indiana.
And they can fare a little better. Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't every spot. I mean, they lost sometimes on their East Coast road trip, but just from a split standpoint, this is the sort of the section of teams that they have done the worst against this year.
And I did appreciate Steph Curry saying after the game, like, it was a revenge spot for the Lakers because the Warriors had gotten them early in the season.
Lakers said it too. Like, the Lakers said it too.
Marcus Morris said it, yeah. But Steph's basically like, yeah, you know, teams are getting us back for all the years we got them. And I actually, sometimes I'll kind of crap on stuff like that. I think that's really legit. And actually,
well, if they're saying it, I mean, if they're saying it, like, what are you supposed to do if they're saying it? This is like the back-to-backs and the duplex games. Like, Lou Williams was mic'd when they played the Jazz the second time, and every soundbite was, guys, they got us the first time. We got to do better. Like, they're saying it. If they're saying it, then I'm going to think about it.
And it kind of endears me, a Warriors hater, during their heyday. It kind of endears me a little bit to this team. The fact that they're like, yeah, we know that we kind of destroyed the entire league. We vaporized everyone for 4 years.
It was worth it.
Yeah, it was worth it. Listen, can't take down banners. Draymond Green leaves with a left ankle sprain. My sense is we won't see Draymond until after the All-Star break. Could be wrong, but just something to keep in mind with Draymond here. Leaves with the left ankle sprain, All-Star break fast approaching. Ken, let's close with the Suns and the Wolves. Suns win by 19. Booker scores 43. I have only one thing to say about this game, and that's that in the 4 games that the Minnesota Timberwolves have played under new head coach Chris Finch, they have allowed 518 points.
Right. Which is, for people who are trying to break it down, what is that, like 126 a game, 127 a game?
A staggering amount of points to give up.
Yeah. Maybe it's Wolves team total overs instead of just playing game overs, because apparently the team can't make shots and can't score that much. But Anthony Edwards, I'm actually growing to really appreciate Anthony Edwards because, okay, cool. He's like an inefficient scorer. He takes a billion shots. He's also a rookie. Who cares? Like,
he's talented too. It's like, isn't it a weird hill to die on that people, like, whenever Anthony Edwards, anything positive circulates, people are like, well, he's not a good shooter. He's also like 18. And he's like, I think he's going to be good.
He's also in his first year in the league, played for the most incompetent coach on any team, who got fired midway through the season, for an incompetent franchise and a mix of players who have never won anything. Like, what did you want him to do? Like, even LaMelo Ball, like, LaMelo Ball's around, like, Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, guys who had playoff success before. I mean, he's been around guys who have actually won anything. Like, Borrego's track record is excellent as an assistant coach. So, like, yeah, I mean, just what did I want him to do? But he was so funny after the game. They were like, yeah, how about Booker? And be like, yeah, I mean, like, When I'm not a rookie, I'll start getting those calls. Devin's getting those calls. And it's like, okay, man. Just, like, I get it. And I kind of like you for saying that. But, like, let's slow down a little bit.